Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. My name is Sean Stover. I am a teaching pastor here at Cypress Creek Church, filling in for Taylor Christensen, who is at Disney World or somewhere, hopefully enjoying himself. He deserves it. He works so hard for us as a church and us as a community, but we are joined with Pastor Bob Moss.
I'm glad to be here. Very happy to be.
And the other pastor joining us this morning is our great prayer pastor, Rhonda. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Me too. It's fun to sit with you guys and just sit, honestly. Mm-hmm. It feels like life gets to moving so fast sometimes that I don't get to just sit, but to sit with folks mm-hmm. that I respect and admire so much is great. A great way to start the day. So, and we're talking about the sermon from last Sunday, which I had a chance to teach on, and it was on the topic of honor and honoring one another. This was a great topic for me, a great timing for me to hit this topic. It's interesting, when Taylor's hosting, he always says, well, what? Give me the backstory and the lead up to your message. And usually I can say, well, I thought about it for a few weeks, or I prayed about what God wanted me to teach on. And in this case, we had a sickness and that was a fill-in on Sunday morning. So I had about 3 days to decide what to teach on and which of the one another's, that's the series we're in, which of those one another's to cover. And at the time, I didn't know. I didn't know which ones were still available. There, we still have some folks coming along in the next few weeks to teach. And so I was thinking late at night before I had a chance to review the list of what to cover and didn't know what to do, prayed about it. And then it turns out this honor one another was available. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that it was God's timing to teach on this topic. So just curious, you guys, there's a lot going on in our country right now, mm-hmm. a lot going on in our world. And just in general, this idea of honoring one another, where do you think it lands with where we are?
Well, I think honoring is always a correct thing to do. First of all, we honor God. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the mm-hmm. first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats brim over with new wine. So honor begins with honoring God. And God has blessed us, so there's never a time that honoring other people is not the right thing to do.
That's a good word.
Absolutely. For me, hearing that there was going to be a teaching switch, and then in light of the events that happened this last week in our nation, I was excited because I didn't know what you were going to be teaching on, but I knew that it was going to be that timely word, and trusting that that other word will be brought forth when God says it's time. But I just knew this is going to be what the church needs to hear in this time. And I absolutely couldn't agree more that honor was a beautiful, like a blanket over us to consider others as we're.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think that you're right, Bob. It's never goes out of style. Honor's always the right thing to do, but it feels like it's out of fashion for sure now in our culture. And instead of honoring each other, we find ways to look for differences, and we find ways to tear each other down or point out the weakness in another person. And then we try to rally ourselves around that and rally other people around the common enemy that we mm-hmm. have, or the thing that we want to dishonor in somebody else. And I don't think it's leading us where we want to go. I know it's not leading us where God wants us to go. And I agree that the idea of taking this back to the Lord first and, mm-hmm. and honoring Him first, honoring Him with the first of what we produce, but honoring with the first thing in our hearts, the mm-hmm. first way we start our day is so critical. Because just something happens in that, right? When we start with Amen. The Lord and we connect with Him first, something happens in us that allows us to minister to, care for, and love the people around us, look at them in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just kind of digging into the sermon a little bit, you know, the verse itself, Romans 12:10, says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above ourselves. And I think that, you know, be devoted to one another and honor one another. Those are probably topics we could think about. But then he adds the above yourselves part to Romans 12:10, and I'm assuming he was pretty intentional with those words, because it's okay to honor people, but man, above myself, really? What do you think that means when mm-hmm. he puts it that way?
That's a very great question, and I think it's one that we spend a lifetime learning to do, because we, even as toddlers, it's me, me, me. You know, we come into this world and it's all about us. And so it's a process to me of learning what it looks like to honor others, to esteem others, to just hold them in regard, even when they don't deserve it, or in my view, they don't deserve it. But God created them and He says they deserve it. And so it's a choice and it's a lifetime of learning.
Yeah.
Well, honoring other people above yourselves is an act of humility and meekness. Mm-hmm. And those are the two character descriptions that Jesus gave us of Himself. And so when we think about what He did in coming to earth as the Son of God and the Son of Man to offer Himself, He honored us with His presence and humbled Himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. So I think that's what it's really talking about, humility and meekness.
Mm-hmm. Such an important word, right? That humility, I think that is why he starts that whole section in Romans 12 with the thought in verse 3, where he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." And that's that humility piece that you're describing, mm-hmm. and that realization that we all come out initially very selfish, very much thinking about ourselves. And as we mature in our faith and as we grow closer to Christ and see His example in our life, I think that's the ultimate outcome, is that mm-hmm. we humble ourselves to the point. Who was it? One of you can probably tell me that said something about humility is not thinking, you know, less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You know, it's not... And mm-hmm. I think that's sometimes where we get wrapped up. It's like, well, I've got to think everybody else is great and I'm horrible, or I have to, you know, I'm not worthy of care, but everybody else is, and that's what humility is. And it's not that at all. It's understanding how significant and valuable we are, but just not really focusing our energy there. Instead, because we're so valuable and so loved and we're children of God, now we can focus our energy more on the people around us.
Absolutely. I feel like... the more I understand who I am in Him and how He sees me, then the easier it is. And that's why it was easy for Jesus, because He knew who He was. Mm-hmm. And so honoring and esteeming others was easy for Him, being humble, because He knew His position. And so knowing how He sees me helps me to be able to not feel that need to... raise myself up, or, you know, be prideful about myself, because I already know my position in Him and how He sees me. And then I can help others see themselves that way too. So,
what you've been able to do, Rhonda, in your faith journey to get to that point, I'm just curious, of the folks that come for prayer and intercession, how many of them don't understand that value that they have from the Lord, mm-hmm. that imago Deo, that I was created in God's image and mm-hmm. I have intrinsic value because He made me. Mm-hmm. Do you see that a lot in people
that
are struggling?
I think it's a huge part of people of faith. There's a lot of people that don't really understand their value, and whether it was from things from their childhood or just false beliefs about themselves. Like I said, it's a lifelong process of allowing Him to show you things and guide you. But we see it a lot.
I think it's important that we just pause and talk about it for a second, because the reality is, while we're talking about honoring others, there's so many people listening that don't feel like they're worthy of mm-hmm. being honored. They don't feel like they're valuable enough to be honored. And I think it is because mm-hmm. of the experiences they've had, you know, in their family growing up, or with people around them that have said they weren't, you know, pretty enough or mm-hmm. smart enough mm-hmm. or accomplished enough or athletic enough or whatever the case may be. And boy, the enemy loves to see us get banged up in this area of where our value really mm-hmm. comes from. Bob, I know you mentor a lot of guys. You probably see some of this too, right? This not realizing their value based on who they are in the Lord, and how it causes just damage in everything, every other area of their life, right?
It does. And none of us have perfect parents. None of us live in a perfect environment. But when we study the scripture and realize what God has to say about us and what he offers us, God does not show favoritism. He loves everybody the same way. But we have to make our choices. And so if we understand from God's perspective that we are created in his image, you know, that alone makes us worthy, not worthy in and of ourselves, but he made us worthy. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, I urge you, therefore, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. We don't live the Christian life because we've earned it. We live it because God has made us who we are. He is the one who raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus.
Yeah, so good. Well, if somebody's listening out there and they really are struggling in some ways with their self-worth or what our culture would call self-esteem or a sense of, you know, belonging or feeling valuable, mm-hmm. I do pray that you would dig into what Rhonda and Bob are saying, this idea that God created you and he knows you and he loves mm-hmm. you, because there's not a person out there that's Amen. Valueless. We all have Amen. Value because of the Lord. And so don't stop in your journey to pursue what it looks like to have the Father tell you how mm-hmm. how meaningful your life is and how much you mean to him. And as you get to that point and you get there, then it becomes fun because you're part of a family and you realize, all right, I need to turn this around mm-hmm. and start honoring the people around me. What do you think it means? What does it mean to you as a follower to see Jesus' example in some of these areas? Like, I mean, the list that I had a chance to kind of review over the different areas and people that he clearly honored in his life when he was the most valuable person there. The only time there's ever been a person on earth more valuable than anybody else was when he was here, in my mind. And yet he still paused to honor outcasts and even, you know, his disciples that he called friends, his own family members, the authority around him. What does that say to you that he took the time to do that?
Well, I think it's God in the flesh. That's what Jesus did. But even more, not more, but living today, at the end of the message, you told us of an incident when you were working in a Thanksgiving dinner down in Houston, and this man walked in. I thought that story mm-hmm. just totally exemplified what honoring people is all about. And a man comes in that's not even the homeless people wanted to sit around. And you mentioned how Christina left the serving line, went over and sat down with that man. Mm-hmm. And everybody else had left the table, but he was all by himself. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. epitomized what honoring other people does. And so it was such an inspiring story for me. Mm-hmm. I was really blessed by that.
Yeah, thanks. That's exactly what I think Jesus would have done in that Amen. Moment. And it Amen. Was powerful to see Christina do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus modeled it in so many ways, and that is a beautiful example. And to me, what I've found is, like, when I have that understanding of who I am and then that I can help others see who they are, then it's fun. When you're out and about, God will show you people. He will point out someone to encourage, to speak to smile at, or to pray with, or whatever it is they need. He'll highlight them to you. So it's really it's carrying on what he modeled so beautifully for us. And so
good. Yeah, I agree. I think he will show us mm-hmm. those folks. And when he does, then I think we get into the nuts and bolts of the how-to.
Amen.
And I kind of covered 5 points. I'm sure there are so many ways that you mm-hmm. can honor folks, but we'll just take a look at those in our time. So the mm-hmm. first was to submit completely. And in this one, I was really thinking about the people that are not just that person you bump into that God says, hey, honor this, mm-hmm. but the person that's really hard to honor maybe in mm-hmm. your life because mm-hmm. they've hurt you or wronged you. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, the thought was, I can't do that in my own. My flesh doesn't want right. to turn around and show value to somebody who has done something mm-hmm. harmful to me or one of my kids or mm-hmm. to Christina. And yet God doesn't qualify it and say, you only have to honor the people that you like. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to honor everyone. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that can only happen with submission. Does that thought ring true for you guys at all?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not popular. Many years ago when I was on faculty with the school, was in a faculty meeting, and we were developing our contract for the new year with principals and with faculty and back and forth and giving our feedback. And I mentioned the S word, submission. And a roar of laughter broke out in the room because they don't get that, and they don't see that yeah. as something as it, you know, to submit to our authority there. And it was interesting. It was sad in a sense. But it's not a popular word. Yeah. But what I have found with authority, whether it's within the church or your workplace, whatever it is when you grab a hold of that, and sometimes God will call you to bring something forward that's not right or that's out of order, but then you, when you release it to that person in authority over you, then that's between God and them, and you can feel okay that you've done what your part was and just submit and surrender to that, and that God will deal with things in His timing. And so
he does deal with the things. That's what always gets me in a great way. Mm-hmm. Even 4 days ago when I got the call and it was like, hey, we need you to fill in on Sunday. And in my mind, I thought there's no way that's possible. Mm-hmm. I'm 4 states away on vacation. I've got some things going on I need to get back to attend to with some health with my dad. And it's just not possible. And but I paused long enough to pray about it and hear the Lord say, look, it's not possible with you, mm-hmm. but this isn't up to you. Mm-hmm. And I've never been at this point in my faith, but I hope I'm going to stay here. Where I landed in this spot of, you're right, I can't do this, but I'm excited to see what God's going to do, given Amen. I can't do anything.
Amen. That
level of submission is new for me because I tend to be more of a, well, let me see what I can get done in my own strength. And then, Lord, you just add on at the end, as opposed mm-hmm. to walking into something maybe for the first time going, I'm just going to have to submit to what yeah. you want to see happen
Amen.
in this
Absolutely.
Circumstance. So that was number one. Number two on the list was to see optimistically. And this one, I have people in my life that do this well. Do you have somebody in your life that just sees the best in people all the time and is optimistic? Or maybe you guys probably are those people for other people in your life.
Yeah.
Well, seeing the future optimistically, I think, requires that we also have a gratefulness for the past and the present. Because without gratefulness, it's impossible to see optimistically. So I look for people who are grateful. When I find people who are complaining all the time, I realize that those are the people that end up in despair because they're always seeing the negative side of everything. It's a hard thing to be able to view things optimistically, but it's certainly a lot more fun than complaining.
That's a great
Absolutely.
Contrast.
Yeah. For me, I see optimistically, I think of seeing kingdom, seeing God's kingdom work in something. So because each one of us spend time with people and pray with people, and Sean, you counsel people, sometimes the things you're hearing in the worldly sense, you're just like, oh man, they're sunk. I don't see any optimism in this. I don't see any hope. But for me, internally, I'm praying, God, help me to see your kingdom mindset over this. And when I allow Him to do that, then I'm able to see hope. Even if there doesn't appear to be any, there is always hope in Christ. And so then I can get optimistic that I don't know what the path forward is. I have no clue what he's going to do, but there is a path. If you lean into him, if you're following him, there is, you can be optimistic that there is a path forward and out of what you're going through. So
that's really good. I wish you guys that were listening could see Rhonda's nonverbals as she's describing that, because it's such an important point that she made. And so she had her hands down low near the table as she talked about the worldly view or explanation of what's going on in the moment, and their hands were a lot higher as she described the kingdom view of, but God's up to something even in the person's life you're just hanging
Absolutely
out with,
is.
Even while they're describing the earthly things. And the ability to see on both of those levels is a sign of maturity and a way to honor them and the Lord. I love that idea that Marcus Buckingham said, that seeing people optimistically is the assuming the most generous explanation of their behavior and actually believing.
Amen.
Right? Because we make judgments all the time. I know why that person cut me off, because they're mean and they're a horrible driver, as opposed to, I wonder if they're on the way to the hospital and trying to make sure they get there to love on a loved one that they may see for the last time. You know, we can choose how we want to assume somebody's, the motive behind somebody's behavior. So I think that's important in honoring people. As you were talking about complaining versus gratitude, Bob, I think that's, you know, what, when you view people, what lens are you looking through? Is it an optimistic lens of gratitude for people? And the third point was sacrifice consistently. And that idea that it's going to cost you something if you really want to honor the people around you. That's, again, not necessarily a popular topic for folks these days. It's like, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? It's almost like, well, if I do honor them, then they're going to honor me back, right? Or honor me more. Or three people are going to show up and honor me for me honoring this one person. And we tend to look at the world transactionally as opposed to the way the Lord did, which was just sacrificially.
I think that's probably the most difficult one for me in those, the you know, to be consistent and sacrificing and being willing to day to day, because I plan out my day and what I have ahead, and then the Lord changes it sometimes, and it's not always convenient. Oftentimes it's not. And it's not just about that person and what he wants for them. He's doing something in me when he's asking for that. And it is honoring him to be willing to just move into that. So, but that one probably challenges me the most.
Well, the greatest example is Jesus. Everything that he did, he always came out of it looking at the positive, and his whole demeanor in every situation was the way that all of us should be living, and that is to view everything from God's perspective. So no matter what happened to him, and really when you look at his ministry, just about all of the miracles, everything that happened was always while he was on the way to something else, and he was interrupted. And he handled interruptions perfectly. And when we think about ministry, ministry is all about interruptions. You were on a vacation last week.
Yes, sir.
Or at a camp, and long way, four states away, and all of a sudden you get a phone call. Well, that's what ministry is all about. It's one interruption after another. But how you handle those interruptions, if you view them as opportunities and as divine appointments, then it takes all the pressure off, because you know God is up to something. And so you came and you didn't know when you started preparing for that sermon that there was going to be a great colossal event take place up in Pennsylvania, and your message, no matter what kind of a background you have, your message was to everybody. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need. We need civility, and civility comes when we honor other people.
That's good. So good. Thanks, Bob. All right, a couple more just to go through. Speak encouragingly was the fourth one. If we're going to honor people, we need to do it with our speech. You know, we oftentimes think, well, they know how I feel about them, or they know how valuable they are to me. And a lot of times people may need to hear it and not just us assume that they know. And I've got people in my life that are really good at speaking life and being encouraging. And it's a blessing when it happens. It does communicate honor. Mm-hmm. We do a thing around our table at every big event, whether it's a graduation or a birthday for sure. And that person gets on the hot seat and everybody has to go around and share a word of blessing or something that's important or encouraging for that person. Without fail, it's a thing now. Our 12-year-old colt is the first one to go every time. And I'm telling you the story. I'm telling you this because anybody can be an encourager. Mm-hmm. Anybody can speak life. He watched for, you know, when he was 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. And I mean, since he was 8 years old, he goes first every time sharing a word, and it's spot on. And so we kind of just laugh about it now because we know he's going to jump in. And we said, well, why do you always want to be first? He goes, because y'all all steal my word if I wait too long. So he's not getting his word stolen. He's jumping right in there. But anybody is capable of doing this. Of speaking, mm-hmm. encouraging.
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting on this one, there are probably some people in your life who have done some really horrific things. There's somebody listening out there that's like, mm-hmm. are you telling me I got to go honor that uncle who did that to me, or that boss who, you know, literally verbally abused me, or mm-hmm. that? And I want to make sure that you're hearing me say, I'm not telling you seek that person out and show them honor. In this moment, maybe honoring them is just not dishonoring them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the most honoring thing to do is just to not be a part of gossip or slander after the fact. But you certainly don't need to go. God doesn't call us to go and have a reconciled, trusting relationship with everybody that's injured us or damn. We know we're supposed to forgive everybody, but that doesn't mean you have to go back. And it certainly doesn't. Don't hear in this message where it say honor everyone, where we're saying you got to go find that person and show them honor, even though they mm-hmm. treated you in a horrible way. But you do need to not dishonor them, mm-hmm. because that ends up affecting you if you become a person who is bitter and complaining and angry. So I don't know if that clarification was necessary for many people, but I just wanted to make sure.
It's good to say it. Sometimes honoring them, a person like that, the best way you can honor them is pray for them.
Yeah.
And that's even a challenge sometimes if the wound is really big, but allowing God to move you to that place of just praying for him to work in their life, that's very honoring of who they, of them as an individual.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And the last one was serving. Serve wholeheartedly. I think that we honor people when we serve them. And anything come to mind on that last point for you guys?
Well, there's many ways to serve people, but one of the most important, I think, is being honest with one another. And the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Jesus. And that's what God is looking for us. Jesus told the woman at the well, God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in mm-hmm. truth. So honesty is always good. And I mean, it's the right thing, just like honoring mm-hmm. is. But I can't tell you how many times I've been in a meeting with you, Sean, and you know, we can be having fun. It could be jovial or just routine conversation. And you always have a word that just, it's as sharp as can be, and it's truth. It always comes through this, and it comes out of your heart of integrity. And I think that is the most mm-hmm. valuable thing that we can offer one another, is just being honest and true to ourselves and true to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think serving wholeheartedly to me as well is, I just think of a phone conversation I had this week with a woman, and as we were closing and talking about things available for her, she said more than once, I don't want to be a burden. And so my hope would be that I conveyed to her wholeheartedly that she is not a burden, Amen. that is a part of being in the body of Christ, that I have times where I'm in need, I'm needy. We all do. And so that's being wholehearted and conveying that to them, is that we're in this with you and we want you in this with us. It's a walk to be done together. And I just think that's something for us to convey to people as we honor them and love them.
So good. It's a walk to be done together.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And as the body of Christ and the community of believers, we get to do that as we honor one mm-hmm. another. Thank you both.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.